Today on the Science and Spirituality podcast, I interviewed Summer McStravick. Quick bio on her, and then I'll tell you how the episode went. Summer McStravick is a personal growth coach, author, podcaster, and creator of Flow Dreaming, an energy technique for manifesting, healing, and growing inner emotional strength. Her books and podcasts have been used worldwide to transform people's inner emotional landscapes, as well as their external lives. Her latest book is called Stuff Nobody Taught You. 40 lessons from me school to help you stop being miserable and start feeling amazing. Summer's been teaching for 18 years. I believe she sat actually 19 in this episode, so this bio might be a little bit old, but previously she worked for Louise Hay for a decade and created hayhouseradio.com. Find her at flowdreaming.com or through her podcast, Flow Dreaming. So we talked about flow dreaming. It was phenomenal. It's a technique I'd not heard before, but Summer reached out to be on this podcast, and it was an incredible conversation. I learned a lot, and no surprise, this conversation was very flowing. So we talk about what flow dreaming is. It's a technique, as I shared in her bio, that can help you in your life. And I loved her way of putting it, is that we all know that there's a power in visualizing and manifesting and creating, but often it feels like it's a very difficult thing to do, or it takes a long time. And she created this kind of out of need, because she said that she was busy with work as well as with kids. And so she needed something that would really work for her in a shorter period of time. And she birthed this technique. So it was an incredible conversation. We talked on a lot of different topics, so it's kind of difficult for me to give the intro in a succinct way. But it was just incredible. And I think you're going to take a lot out of this. Especially, I highly encourage you to stay to the end, because we talked about what Summer calls the trifecta of trust. And I think this is a core foundation of putting into practice anything you hear on this podcast or any other personal development or spiritual growth kind of topics, or podcasts, books, videos, whatever, that you need trust within yourself to actually implement what you learn. So it's a really key point. I know you're going to enjoy it, and talk soon in the episode. Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carton.
And my name is Kevin Carton, and we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy-to-understand scientific research, so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started.
So Summer, welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast. I'm really looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Delighted to be here, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially, you know, I want to say one thing before I have you share your background, which I think will bring us right into it, that when you had said that you worked for Louise Hay's company, that really like was a highlight for me, because I loved her books over the years. Heal Your Body, or You Can Heal Your Life, was the first book I got introduced to her work. And it's such a beautiful approach that she's brought to the world. And so to hear that you had a hand in supporting a company that, like, the publishing company, is just really brilliant. And so I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah. It's funny how I ended up there. Kind of like you, I went to school for something completely different. You went into pharmacy and you were like, oh, no, right?
Yep.
I decided to go into publishing because I didn't want to do any of that woo-woo, crazy, psychic-y, new-agey stuff that my family that I grew up in. No, no, no. I was going to go in publishing and be very smart and you know, all that. Mm. And of course, the first publishing job I get is with Hay House and Louise Hay.
Right.
The universe has a way of bringing you right back into where you're supposed to be. So yeah, I spent a good decade there in various capacities working for her. And oh gosh, with just about every, if you can think of a huge person, I probably work with them, with a few exceptions. I haven't worked with Mary Morrissey, but sure. I have with, geez, Marianne Williamson, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Greg Braden, on and on, on and on. So I ended up putting together Hay House Radio. I put together all of the anything that was in an audio or a web format throughout the 2000s. That was that. My little fingers were behind that. helping them put together, you know, their programs, their audiobooks. Of course, what we call them radio shows on the internet, which we all right. know now is a podcast. Yep. With the exception of it was live as well. So that was super cool because we had lots and lots of callers. It was really like running a big media network. Mm. But that kind of brought me I joke that was my MBA, but in spirituality and you right. know, how I was kind of skilling me up. Like, if you can do this for everybody else, hey, hon, when are you gonna do it for yourself?
Right.
And that's where a parallel track started emerging, where I was writing books and my own podcast got really popular. And there you have it. Eventually, I transitioned completely into flow dreaming, which is what I do today, and helping people change, grow, personal growth. I'm all in deep.
Right. Yes. That's awesome. You said before we hit record that you might not be able to be succinct with your story. I think that was beautifully succinct. And it will lead us right to the next step, because you mentioned flow dreaming. Since that is yeah. your approach, I'd love for you to introduce it for our listeners.
Oh, sure. Okay, so let's scroll back with me like 20 years or so, a few sure. decades. Go before back. You look like you were born, Mr. Uh-huh. Kevin.
Yeah.
So back in the day, there was affirmations, of course, there was creative visualization. There were a lot was being spoken around. Just put your mind in the right place. Just get your mind there. Just be in the vortex, you know, the Abraham Hicks. And I had like two little kids, babies, toddlers. I was working. My job was really, really demanding, pretty high stress. And I remember feeling always like, you guys, I just can't keep my head in this space. I mean, like, I'd have to be retired or living on an island to do this. Isn't there something I can do to make things happen? Because I was really intensely interested in manifesting, the idea of manifesting at that point. And I tried meditation, of course, and I discovered that my mind is very yakky-talky all the time. So all of my meditation sessions were blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I don't want to go spend 20 minutes just talking to myself consistently. That's what I, you know, like, that's not working. I'm not creating anything. So this other modality kind of emerged, and there's a whole origin story, like how it happened, when I discovered, like, I'm in this place. What the heck is this? Hmm. But eventually I named it flow dreaming. And I realized that it is a perfect modality for those of us who either want to heal and grow in a very connected space with all that is. I don't know what you want to call it, your higher self, your higher power, et cetera. It's also a beautiful modality for those of us who want to create in our lives, manifest, shape our future. I call it creating an emotional blueprint of who you are becoming. So briefly, flow dreaming has three components. I've always taught the actual technique for free. I mean, just over and over through the years. You've got guided daydreaming, good, intense, deep, real emotion, and flow space. You bring those three pieces together, you've opened a conduit. And I've been teaching that and walking people through that process. And then more importantly than just teaching people how to do this is, what are you doing it for? And that's where really like the next, gosh, decade of my life opened up. What are you doing it for? Because people mm-hmm. I've found often undershoot what they're asking for. They want to heal the immediate thing. They want to pay the immediate bill, as opposed to saying, I'm worth so much more. Right. What's the direction of my life? So that's where flow dreaming has ended up kind of taking me in the work that I do with others. Like, how far can you take this? How big can you grow?
Right. Which I'd love to get into that we're flowing with this conversation, because you're speaking to the choir here, because mm-hmm. my words for my work is I specialize in helping people live their soul's purpose. I've mm-hmm. for many, many years really been connected to the idea that we are here for a reason. Even, mm-hmm. even back before I even was introduced to personal development and spirituality. I mean, I grew up Catholic, but never really fully connected with the religion, but knew mm-hmm. and felt that there was something like guiding every single one of us here, guiding life. But what's your take on purpose?
Oh my God, really? How many hours do we have? Like 5, 8?
You got an hour?
Nope. I got an hour. Okay. All right, we're going to go. Yeah, purpose is something that I have wrestled with for a long time, because every time I think I find my purpose, it shifts direction. It's like a snake shedding its skin every few years. It moves and it changes and it evolves. And so I've sort of taken a different look at life. I see it more like we're here with a few objectives, things that we want to probably solve or discover or grow or in particular master in ourselves. Many of us are here to master pain. And so we pick different ways of doing that. And we say, I'm the person who always has the bad relationship, or I'm the person who's always broke, or I'm the person who's never seen or valued by others or my family, right? We tend to have the quote same pattern over and over again as we're working through its mastery. But that said, we move through all these different phases of our lives. Like I've had probably four different careers, five different, like full-on careers at this point. And every one of them felt purposeful to me. And as I look at them, I realize, okay, this one gave me this set of experiences. That one gave me that set of experiences. Then I got a new set. So I see myself as more like I'm an old-fashioned quilt that grandma would have made with all the different colored squares. Everything I do is adding a different color, different pattern, like things you don't even think would fit together. But the whole at the end is what I get to take with me. I would not want to come here and make an entire quilt that was all purple squares, like a singular purpose didn't deviate. So in my, I don't know, creative world, it's about exploration. My purpose is a constant space of exploration and adding to. So it's never fixed. It's never stopped at a certain point. It's always on the move. Because if it's not, then basically I've stopped growing. I've said, I've learned all I can, bye. And I'm not ready to do that yet, folks. So my purpose is an evolving, delicious salad bar. And I just keep trying the next dish along the way.
I love
I
that.
bet you've never heard it described quite like that, huh? A salad
Actually,
bar? My purpose is a salad bar.
no, yeah, not specifically with that analogy, but I fully agree with you that that's to me like what at least what most people think of when they hear purpose or have the idea of purpose. I love the approach that you have because it breaks down, I think, the myths of purpose being it's like it's this, because that's so limiting, right? Like we're multi-dimensional beings. How can we? I don't even think we're even meant to fit into that as like, oh yeah, this is your purpose and this is it. Like, there's so much more to us that we can discover, but we have to be open to it.
From an even larger perspective or a more spiritual perspective, as a being that is constantly facing situations in life, good stuff, bad stuff, big pivots, tiny, mundane, boring insanity type stuff, like we get to face the range is enormous, the gamut is huge, what we all go through. Every one of those experiences reveals a little bit more of myself to myself. Oh, this is how I'm handling it now. Oh, this is what I'm how I'm learning to be inside this experience instead of just letting it happen to me, which is another tenet of flow dreaming, right? I'm always saying, stop letting the world happen to you. You happen to the world. Otherwise, you're not manifesting. That's what manifesting means. You happen to the world. Let the world respond to you, not the other way around, right? So that's part of it. But the other, like I said, higher side for me is sometimes I think of us as imagine we're all a cell in a larger body. Like I have cells in my thumb right now, and it only realizes it's a cell. It kind of knows it's part of something else, but not really. To me, I don't even notice it's there. But it's obviously important because I need my thumb and I need all the cells. What if we're cells in a bigger but consciousness? And one of our jobs is to collect information about what we are and to collect it through continuous experiences, both in a body and, out of a body. So again, for me, purpose is honestly, maybe it would come down to self-aware exploration. As spirits and beings and humans, we focus on that, in our own small way. I want to actualize myself. I want to understand myself and life. I see patterns in most things that are natural. So I would take that same pattern and say, well, maybe source is also self-experiencing, taking all of our little cells of the thumb that we are, bringing it back in and gaining greater and greater self-observation awareness, and importantly, growth. right? Because, and to bring it back to flow, that's another strong like precept of how I live. Everything has a natural flowing fluid direction. There's resistance and there's no resistance, right? Ease and resistance. Most things in our universe are operating on this dichotomy of opposites. You know, when you get right down to it, I mean, of course they're the same thing, two sides of the same coin, but then boop, the first mathematical split is into two. So when we are in a state of ease and flow, I know I'm really going off now on a tangent, but we were just totally shifted that. When we're in a state of ease and flow, what we're saying is I'm living a life that lacks resistance. I am in the natural rhythm of things. So when I said that, you know, God or source, and here we are, I know we're going way big, way faster, but God or source is possibly in this continuous evolving awareness state as we are pattern on pattern, you know, from the largest to the smallest. And look at us, we're doing the same thing as humans, making AI, right? We're making all kinds of machines that can act the same exact way that we ourselves are trying to act. So it just goes down through all these levels. But okay, to go back, here you have the state of growth and evolution. For me, that's the same state as flow. It's the same way that the earth flies naturally around the sun. It doesn't have to work at it, doesn't have to try, nothing's getting in its way. It's never going backwards and going, oh no, oh no. Mm-mm. It's always moving. I was born, my body is naturally aging. I don't have to work on it aging, believe me, nor can I get it to go back to being 3 years old again, right? There's just like a set pattern of development is what I'm getting at. Even the universe expanding, mm-hmm. It's all going out like this. Now, the opposite, of course, is resistance and going backwards and feeling stuck and all of that. So in life, I try to be more with the natural rhythm of exploration and evolvement and a lack of resistance. Now, of course, that's impossible because right. We live in a world with 3 billion other people or 8 billion. How many people? How many billions do we have?
Eight.
Okay.
8 billion now.
Okay. I thought I said three. I'm like, oh no, that was 20 years ago. Anyway, so a little philosophy. I hope we didn't lose everybody.
Not at all. I think it was a great tangent. And naturally, you being so in touch with flow, it flowed. I'm curious awesome. Your point of view with that topic of, all right, that's purpose. I agree with you. It's an evolving thing. It's never one specific thing. And that it's source, it's life, it's God, it's the universe experiencing mm-hmm. itself through us. I'm curious where you use the word resistance. Obviously, mm-hmm. that's a natural phenomena. I'm curious your point of view of like, since you're so focused on flow and living that for yourself, and maybe it's with clients that you work with, that when there's that flow, like, yes, resistance comes, but how do you stay focused or have a outcome in mind or where you're going? Because people, I think the dichotomy I see is that it's flow and then having structure, which structure can help. But I'm curious to hear how you not only perceive an experience structure or even advocate for it, because you may not at all.
Oh my God, I am a Virgo. I love structure. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
God, couldn't live without it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your point of view then, because a lot of people think that it's opposite, as in like, oh, if you're in flow, then there's no structure. Or if you have structure, then there's no flow. Like, I don't think so myself, but I'd love to hear your point of view.
Yeah, I want to switch the interpretation of the words. Mm. When a bird is flying in the sky, and it's flying with a current, you could call that current structure. Yes. It's flying further. It's expending a certain amount of energy and getting further and faster along. It was bad grammar, but you know what I'm saying. If it goes against the current, if it goes against the structure, it's using the same amount of energy and getting nowhere. So the yield goes way, 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 way down when it's in a state of resistance. So for me, flow can contain structure. It can not contain structure. It could just be like kind of moving with stuff. I feel that structure is basically, though, pretty darn important, but not rigidity. Mm. So let's redefine that. Structure is not rigidity. Rigidity is I found it. I know the meaning of life. I've solved everything. I know what I'm supposed to do, who I'm supposed to be. I'm done. I got it. I know the mind of God. For me, as soon as you say that, you've settled into a rigid place. Flowing water is the water of life. Stagnant water is the water of death. So I always hesitate before I even say I'm right about anything. I say I'm right today, right now in my mind, I hope in a year I'm not right anymore. Because if I haven't made some adjustments, then boy, I just hit that wall of rigidity. But we get caught and trapped in rigidity, often because of fear, right? And familiarity, and frankly, biology. Our biological natures are constantly skewing us toward stay here. It's safe. Stay in the cave. Stay in the castle. Don't go out. Scary things out there. I don't care how much you hate it. I don't care how much you don't like it. It's safe. At least you know the crappy things that are surrounding you. So we end up creating lives that get stiffer and more rigid. And we start disallowing ourselves all kinds of dreams. And you can often see it because when we're younger, like I remember, you know, being 20 and I was going to do everything. Like literally, I was going to just be everything, do everything. Nothing was off the plate. And if I tried something and it didn't work out, it was like, okay, I can try something else. I can shake off. Tell that to somebody in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s. They're like, I don't have time to shake it off. I don't have time to do this again. No, 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 no. So we get stuck in these rigid modules for ourselves. And then the latter half of our life comes more about how do I continuously move through those as opposed to getting more and more stuck in those. Ah, tangent again. I told you I'm the queen of tangents here. But
if we said though.
I like to say, if I give you shower thoughts and you're standing in your shower tonight and you're like, yeah, she said that weird thing about rigidity. What was that? And I'm like, oh my God, I've done the right thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your definition and really going deeper into the meaning for you, mm-hmm. what that word is. Because I agree. Mm-hmm. Like the analogy you mentioned, a river, or funny enough, so I'm currently not actively, but I have been trained and in aeronautics. So I'm training to become a private pilot. And
wow,
one of the things that I learned that was mind blowing to me, it makes so much sense, but water, like the waves in an ocean, is literally the same as turbulence in the air. It's like the plane is like, you know, imagining like that turbulence is like literally just like a wave that you hit, but the plane is still aloft because it has its wings. So it's like the same kind of dynamics, which was like, wow, it makes so much sense. So the
patterns,
analogy you gave.
Patterns, my man.
Exactly. Right? So the analogy of the bird flying, like it's got its structure, right?
Yes.
It's similar, like the thing that I think of with structure and flow, that they can coexist, and often, not only often, but really most of the time they do, is like a river. The river can only flow because it has its banks.
Yeah.
It has the structure of the edges of itself so that it can actually, you know, meander and find its way to the ocean. So
precisely. It's like a Buddhist cone, right? Like you have to think for a minute, but they go together, even though they seemingly would not. But then again, so do all opposites.
Right.
For me though, rigidity is when you stop moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you push against the movement. That for me is rigidity. And that's, like I said, usually fear-based. To go back to that person in their 40s or 50s or 60s, they're afraid to change. They're afraid to pivot. They're afraid to start over. They're afraid to, and that's the fear. So, to take this into an emotional realm, you know, as opposed to, you know, philosophical terms, you have fear on one side and you have release, joy, peace, pleasure. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of words you can say on the other side. But basically, the opposites are things that make you feel bad, things that make you feel good, right? That's it. And every single emotion we experience is going to fall into one of these two camps. The things that make us feel bad, I see as incredibly useful, which would be like analogous to resistance, right? Because what they're saying is the banks of the river, don't go there. You're not supposed to get out of these banks. Or the little edges around bumper cars, right? The little bumper rubbers, right? You're supposed to stay in here. Don't go out there and into the crowd. So you've got fear and resistance acting really importantly in your life, telling you that's not the place of ease. That's not where things are going to just go the easiest. You know, nature doesn't like to spend more energy on something than she has to, right? Another natural law. When you're in a state of resistance, you're grinding energy. And fear is there to say, stop doing that. However, where it gets problematic is when you get locked in place. And again, like I said, flowing water is the water of life. Mm-hmm. Stagnant water is the water of death. So you're basically committing at that point when you get stuck in that fear base to tailing things off, you know, like not growing, not changing, not expressing, etc. And a lot of us, you know, fear, if you think of fear as a fire alarm, you turn it off. Like it, you try, you push your broom against the ceiling as often as you have to get the thing to stop. But if you let it keep going and going, we stop hearing it. And then we settle into these very unfulfilling lives often,
right,
or moderately fulfilling lives. And we say, this is the best I can do. I've topped out with my fear.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. And that's where like you and I come in, and we're right. Like, what are you talking about? You have another, like I talk to a lot of people who are in their 40s and 50s, and I'm like, do you realize you're sitting here right in the smack dab middle of your life? Like you're giving up right in the middle of the race. What do you mean you're 50? You got another 50. You know, you're 40, you got another 40. And yet, you know, sometimes we have to remind ourselves like, oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing? I can't stop now.
Keep going. The analogy I like to use is that it's hard to see the entire picture when you're the one inside of the frame. So we all need help.
Yeah. Agreed. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious because you're speaking the language of not everyone, but many people we talk with on the podcast, what me and my brother believe. I imagine that there are people that are listening. It's like, yep, I got this, you know,
yep,
I understand summer, but it's up here, but not in here in their heart and their life. I want to hear about what's your technique or how you support or what you'd give as advice to take it from the head knowledge, intellect into living it. Because I think that's really where people get stuck, is not just knowing about it, but then doing it.
100%. That, to go back to what flow dreaming is, that for me is the difference. So there's the yoga that you practice, and you practice it and your muscles, you know, change and you get more flexible and yada, yada, right? Then there's the yoga of philosophy, the why of yoga, like the whole philosophical system around it. Flow dreaming is similar. There's a philosophical system around that. And I kind of dipped into it a little bit, talking about flow and ease and allowing yourself and beginning to work with fear, et cetera. The physical practice of it is what helps me take all the stuff that's locked up here and to go back, you know, for the decade that I spent helping other like crazy personal development gurus and luminaries put their stuff together. The key piece was always, how do we take it from just having somebody sit and listen to something to actually them being different as a result, them doing something different. When I flow dream, it's like going to a gym, but I'm going to a gym for my emotions. I'm going to a gym for my energetic system. Every time I do it, I'm physically adding something to myself, right? There's every time we have an experience, so go back to the quilt idea, right? Every time we have an experience, we become more of that particular experience. So I am choosing to create certain experiences in my being through this practice that is just the same as, you know, doing, you know, curl ups or whatever. At the gym, if I do it every day, my physical body gets stronger. If I do this practice every day, my energetic emotional self gets a lot stronger. It changes. Now, what this means is if I am working on something like I want to feel fluid and comfortable pivoting or changing. Believe me, I've been through some crazy things, right? I've been through cancer. I've been through firings, autoimmune diseases. I've been through a lot of stuff. Eventually, I realized I always have the option. Either I can respond to all that stuff, or I can what I call pre-spond to all that stuff. I can react to all that stuff, or I can pre-act to all that stuff. Most of us spend 97% of our, I don't know, it's a random number, 99, I don't know, a lot of our lives responding to all the stuff that the waves on the shore are constantly washing up for us. But when you shift into this flow dreaming, what ends up happening is you're telling the world around you, this is who I am. This is how I'm going to go through this experience. These are the feelings I want. I'm not waiting for anything in my life to give me the feelings that I want. Because most of us are in these massive power leaks. I can't feel this way until my relationship is this way. I can't feel that way at work until I earn more money. I can't feel safe at home until I have, you know, blah, blah, blah. We wait for all of these external things to give us permission to have the feelings that we want to feel, when the external world really has no obligation to do any of those things for us. So if we put the cart before our horse, when I do my practice, I'm going in and I'm literally doing a kind of emotional reconditioning, which is the science-y way, right? Science and spirituality, right?
Yep.
Podcast. The sciencey way is to call it emotional reconditioning. If I am adding a pure sense of gratitude is a very popular one. It's the gateway drug for this work is like what I like to say, the gratitude practice.
Yes.
But from gratitude, you can feel anything else. I feel total security, emotional security, health security, money security. I'm going to feel that right now. It doesn't matter if the world around me doesn't have that. And I know you've probably heard this in other iterations. I'm just putting it in maybe a slightly different framework.
Absolutely.
So I'm feeling this, and now I'm becoming this. It's literally winding its way into my physical cells. My neurons are creating new pathways. And what I call my energetic self is starting to hear this information. So I call it programming my energetic self. This is who I am. I'm safe. I'm safe in all ways. Yeah, there's nothing outside me to make me feel that way, but I'm not waiting on the outside world to make me feel that way. It doesn't even have a responsibility to make me feel that way. I'm going to feel that way. And eventually, you know, I call it like the hall of mirrors effect. I start walking around, and what does the world do but mirror you all the time? All the time. So if I'm deciding what it's going to mirror, it will start giving me new things. So that's the practice for me that takes the theory into the reality. Everybody takes care of their bodies. Everybody works them out or takes walks or takes supplements and does juice fasts. And everybody takes care of their mind and they do Sudoku and, you know, crosswords and like stay, you know, learn a foreign language. How many people have an energetic emotional practice to the same degree?
Right.
One that transcends. So every part of our lives should have a practice involved in it. And Agreed. Flow dreaming is mine. And it makes it very concrete for me. And That's I don't have to worry now about just trying to control my thinking all the time.
Right.
Because if I'm creating a counterbalance of emotions constantly, that's growing who I am inside.
Exactly.
And all the negative emotions, they kind of get squeezed out. Not enough room. I've overwritten them with new code.
It's a great way of saying it. Really.
I love my metaphors.
Me too. I'm a very visual learner, and having those things from my mind to literally see is so helpful.
Yeah.
But thank you for sharing that. That's while simple, you know, because what you shared, it is a very simple thing. And I think that because it's so simple, makes it easier to apply. It's not easy in the beginning, at least in my experience. I can speak for myself that with any new habit, I think is the case that it's difficult in the beginning, but once you got it going with it, then it's like, there's a flow. So thank you for sharing that and just your energy to it, because it's inspiring to see and hear, obviously, from someone who's not only had experience, but then now is also helping people in doing so. Like, it works. It really does work. And again, obviously, your approach, like
crazy,
you know, there's so many different approaches, but what you just spoke to, I personally, I believe, because I, as you know, I mentioned I'm trained by Mary Morrissey, like her lineage is in transcendentalism. You literally use that word of transcending, right? That's it. I believe that's like the holy grail. Like, even taking like a scientific approach as well. Like, where do we think that the placebo effect comes from? It's from us. It's from what we believe is true about ourselves. But and your approach, what you just said, it's like the way, whatever way you want to call it. In your case, is obviously flow dreaming and what you teach. Like, it's a way of really tapping into that power that we all have, but we have to activate it.
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, and I haven't even talked about the flow part of flow dreaming so much. You know, flow is so popular now. Everybody wants to flow for like, you know, prime mental agility at the gym and so forth. There's like, it's gotten very yang focused, I think, whereas flow itself is quite yin. To go back to what we talked about earlier, if everything in the universe is sort of flowing in a natural direction, which is an expansive direction at this point, I don't know, a billion, trillion, gazillion years from now, maybe it'll all go backwards. I don't know. But right now, everything is flowing into a place of greater complexity in a good way, right? Greater organization, greater awareness, et cetera. When I move into my own micro flow space, what I'm also recognizing is that I myself have a trajectory. I have a path of development and awareness where there can be no resistance. So I'm always, and people to throw around the word alignment, like for me, that's the very definition of alignment.
Right.
I am getting into a space of no resistance. I'm recognizing that my path growing and developing is going to intersect with your path because you have this little flow too. Think of them as beautiful lines of light, like moving and weaving through the universe, right? We all are moving and weaving together as a society, as humanity. You know, that's why things like a war on the other side of the world impacts everybody. We are all woven in, but even on a one-on-one like you and me right now, we're sort of weaving together into this flow. So when I get into flow space, I'm taking it from the strictly psychological, which is, yes, there's the bodily psychological state of you suddenly lack awareness of where you are. You have a you don't know how much time has passed. You're in some sort of hyper efficient state, right? What if you apply that to your connection to all that is, to your greater self? What if we actually move that flow state into the realm of spirituality? Then you have the craziest, fastest, most connected vehicle you could ever, ever find. And when you have that, what do you do with that? Like how, what's the purpose of that? Well, for me, I either just go in and straight up get into that alignment. Like I am in the space where my life is flowing beautifully and gorgeous and all the right things come to me. And I feel this joy and an outpouring of safety and outpouring of love and outpouring of health. All of these things, I'm just going to paint this energy with, right? I'm just painting the energy with what's coming from me. The other side of it is, like I've mentioned before, I'm a heavy user of emotion. I think emotions are like crayons in a crayon box. It is all the different colors. Fear is like the icky ones, you know, nobody wants to color with those. You know, sunshine is yellow and joy and, you know, love and passion is hot pink and magenta. So I'm carefully choosing which emotions that I want to draw in myself and draw in life around me. And importantly, draw into flow so that as I'm evolving and changing and becoming this next being that I am, I'm choosing the colors that are getting colored into it, right? So I'm being very active and very intentional in the being that I'm trying to become. Another tangent. Beautiful. I told you. Here we go.
I love tangents as well. So I don't mind them at all. I think they're beautiful. It's not only, it's really actually just an emphasis of just you living your life by flow. It's just that right there. Then you're speaking.
Yeah.
And yeah. Literally just as you were just ending off what you just shared, in my mind, I had the thought, oh yeah, it's no wonder you have a really successful, amazing podcast because look at you go. Like you could just flow off of one topic and just go on for minutes at a time. So no surprise.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hopefully without boring everyone to tears.
I'm not bored. So I'm sure our listeners are not bored either. I have a question. Yeah. This will direct us in a little bit of a different direction now. Mm-hmm. Cause we had discussed about the topic of the trifecta of trust is what you call it. Because everything you're talking about and applying these different ways of being, in this case, this last analogy of painting your life, painting your emotions or coloring, as you said, I got it in my mind as like a painting similar, you know, but how do you trust yourself to do that? How do you trust life that it's going to show up for you? Because some people don't have the kind of experiences that we have had, you know, and it took us a journey, of course, to actually trust. But so I want to hear your point of view and how someone, maybe not at the beginning of their journey, but maybe have been hurt and not sure how to trust again. So how would you say that? Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start off with that hall of mirrors idea. Mm. When a person has had their trust broken and life has disappointed them and stuff just hasn't worked out, what happens to their emotional energetic self is it begins to brace for or predict things not working out, right? So we get into kind of a snowball effect, a self-fulfilling prophecy. So when they say my life sucks, you're kind of like, yeah, you're totally right. It does. I'm not going to disagree with you. That's where you're at. The minute that a person decides, yeah, okay, so I've had a lot of broken things happen. I've had a lot of, you know, scuffles with life and the universe and disappointments and broken hearts and broken healths and all of the rest. Now what? Okay, well, now we have to figure out what's the opposite of fear, because you're afraid at this point, you're being hamstrung by fear. You expect bad things, you brace for bad things, which is all a variation of, again, the core negative emotion of fear. What is the opposite? Trust. But I can't trust because I've never had evidence of anything that I trust. You're asking me to go on faith. I'm like, yes and no. Okay, think about this. There's three kinds of trust: trust of self, trust of others, trust of the universe. Trust of others is the most obvious. Everybody hated me in school. Nobody picked me for, you know, their baseball team. I don't trust other people to see me or want me or invite me or like me. My partner cheated on me. My boss fired me. People have disappointed me over and over. My family members don't trust me. I don't trust them. Pretty clear, trust of others. And we know that we get into broken trust with others when people aren't really living authentically. There's usually some sort of other feelings going on, and we end up having to experience it, right? Trust of self, to shift it, is a little harder to understand, because that's where we say things to ourselves like, I would start this side business, but the last time I did, I lost so much money. I probably shouldn't. I want to date, but my last marriage was so terrible. I'll probably get that same person again. I want to even, I find this with self-development programs. I want to sign up for this self-development program, but I didn't finish the last one. I don't even trust myself to do the things that I want to do for myself. So we end up with broken trust in ourselves. Thirdly, trust of the universe is maybe the most vague. But trust of the universe is when you're reaching that point where you're, or lack of trust. I'm really showing you the lack before I show you the positive, right? Lack of trust in the universe means things like, it's just not in the cards this lifetime for me to ever, you know, be in love. The universe just isn't ever going to give me this. I never get that opportunity. That's never going to happen for me. I'm never supported if I do this. I like to think of trust of the universe as kind of like a relationship with another person, because it makes it more accessible. And I say, what if you had a marriage and you were married to the universe and you felt like, yeah, the universe like brings home a paycheck, but they're never there for me when I need them. If I have to cry, I sure can't go to them. I've got to go to someone else. If I say that I need to change jobs or like I'm dying inside, the universe is going to say, suck it up. You have to deal with this. Right? I'd be like, that's not a good relationship. You know, do you think that's really going to go well? Is that going to last? But we end up in all of these states of broken trust because whenever you live, you break things. I mean, it's natural. Like you do. I always say it's like the crowds at a theme park. They come through the park and they mash up the grass and they leave candy wrappers everywhere and flying paper bags and sticky fingers all over the handrails, and it's just a hot mess by the end of the day because everybody really lived. And then you've got to go and you've got to clean it up. It's a sign of living, that little breakage, that debris that comes from it. So we all have a certain amount of debris in each one of these areas in our hearts of trust. And like, even as I say it, like, I hope you're pinpointing in your head, yeah, I have some trust of others, a lot of trust in myself, no trust of the universe. Like, you can kind of like mentally, you know, where your bigger pieces are. Oh, I forgot, body breakdown. That falls into lack of trust of self as well. So when you're diagnosed with a disease or your body disappoints you and you're like, why are you doing this to me? You aren't supposed to, you know, what's going on? Again, break of trust with self. So going forward, the idea is that we want to repair all of these, right? We need to get the cleanup crew in, and we need to do it on an almost daily basis. You know, I always say healing is like showering. Do it every day. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for the magic person to come heal you. Right. Do it every day. And if you start to redevelop these relationships in all the areas, like if you actually think, if anybody right now listening can think of one thing right now that's really upsetting them, really just been grinding on you, really just making you feel down and confused and stuck, any of those feelings. Now think about how long you've been feeling this way about this thing. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's a year. Maybe it's 5 years. Now go a little deeper. What aspect of trust is broken in this? There's something in that yearning, in that hunger, in that disappointment, where a trust has been broken and not been addressed or repaired as of yet. Is it that you gave up on the universe? It's not your friend, right? It's only your friend. God loves me, but won't give me all these things. I'm like, that's not the God I want, you know? or maybe it's with other people, or maybe again, it's yourself. You will find a broken trust in one or more of these areas related to whatever it is that's stuck inside you right now. So that becomes the first thing that you want to go in and slow dream for. And to do that, I'm recognizing the exact opposite feelings. I'm deeply cared for and loved. I'm great at relationships. I'm intensely lovable. There's not just one, but potentially multitudes of partners there for me who are just waiting. They're looking for me as hard as I'm looking for them. My body knows exactly how to bring itself back into alignment. It's been in a state of blissful health before. It's not like it doesn't know what that looks like. It just needs something from me. And I'm listening and I'm here for you. Let's repair this. Like, you can start to have all of those conversations. And again, they start with within. So that's my opus on trust. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell.
Right.
Opus in a nutshell.
I appreciate it. It's really good. Especially the repairing part. I never heard it the analogy of it being debris. That's mm-hmm. really good, because like you said, that's just natural. It happens. Like, there's no going through this human experience with not having some mistakes or failures, things not working out. Otherwise we wouldn't be human. And so not make that the bad thing. Because I think that's what people get stuck is like, that person hurt me. Well, mm-hmm. that was bad. So I don't even want to think about it, let alone actually heal it. I can actually go there, but no, we do need to go there. Like, it's the age old, like, you know, the thing that you fear the most is actually what is yours to work on and will free you if you do.
Yes, 100%. I always use the analogy of the heart. Your heart takes in oxygen, distributes it to your cells, gives all your body, every single cell, nutrients, feeds it, nourishes it. At the same time, you know, the blood recirculates back into the heart with all the debris. Your cells, even again, patterns, right? Even your cells are making constant cellular debris. Your blood picks it up, returns it in, takes it to the lymph, takes it to the heart, processes it out. It's built to do that, to both nourish and heal.
Yes.
If our heart's doing that, our emotional heart is doing that as well. And just a lot of us want to either stop the healing or just don't look at the healing, or they don't like the healing, or they're afraid the healing won't happen, right? We get all gummed up. It's like the wheels get stuck. Mm-hmm. And then we spend the rest of our life in therapy trying to get it going again, right?
Right.
Whereas now, when terrible things happen, and they will continue because we live in a world with other people and institutions and things not under our direct control that are always being brought to us and sometimes laid right in our path. And we can't always avoid them. Even if we're in flow for ourselves, there is something going on where here's the little sand in your oyster. Here's what you get to deal with next. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Right. And think of it like a little antigen, like you're getting a little immunity. You're getting a little something every time you encounter all of these bits of debris, all of these tragedies or disappointments. So the key for me is in learning how to be within these tragedies. How do I be in the disappointment? How do I be in the diagnosis? It switches the power 100% from happening to you to happening with you or by you.
Mm-hmm. Or even through you. I mean, that sounds like what you meant by like with you, but 100%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful approach to life.
I struggle with it every day, Kevin. I am not perfect. I've been doing this 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly reminding myself, you know, why are you getting negative? I'm like, oh, negative feelings remind me that bing, bing, this needs to be taken care of. I don't want to hold on to this. I have a term for that I teach in my programs. I call it lag time.
Nice.
Lag time, is the moment you identify something wrong and the between the moment where you realize, oh my God, I can actually fix this, or I want to fix this. We do it all the time. I'm so fat. I can't lose weight. And we tell our friends that. We tell, like, whatever it may be. Okay, fine. You've just identified you're unhappy with what your physical body is looking and feeling like. And then you told it to your mom, and you told it to your boyfriend, and you told it to your best friend, and you told it to yourself every day. Okay, we're now in lag time. You've identified the problem. Done. All you're doing now is re-identifying it over and over and over, because it makes you feel like you're doing something you're not. Do something now.
Yes.
Lag time ends. And we can all look at everything we have negativity around. Again, like, think of something you have negativity around. How long has it been there? That's the amount of lag time you have been in. And whenever you're ready, you're going to start collapsing that lag time and start moving.
Mm-hmm. I have one final question on that because it just popped up.
Yeah.
What would you recommend someone do if they don't feel like there is something they can do? Which you and I know that it's not true, but how would you support someone with that? Because I think that's a block for some people. It's like, yeah, I want to do something, but I don't know what to do, or I can't do something.
Okay. So I would, again, I'm going to frame that into my emotional crayon box.
Yes.
When there's obvious negative emotions, obvious positive emotions, confusion for me is a tricky little sniper of an emotion, because confusion usually is a negative emotion that we've dressed up as, I just don't know what to do. But that not knowing, if you really check in, is usually not a good feeling. So it's another form of lack thinking. It's another form of, again, the whole like genre of fear. Confusion is, I probably could start taking actions, but I'm not going to because they probably won't work out. Because A, I don't trust the universe. B, I don't trust myself. C, I don't trust other people. So we use confusion as a kind of legit default, because no one's going to be mad at us for saying, I don't know, I'm confused. Don't, you know, it's like, and you can kind of explain it to yourself that way. We love being right. God, it's terrible. I tell people, please be wrong. Please be wrong. Try being wrong. Just be wrong. You know, you're not confused. What if you're not confused? What if you are BSing yourself that you're confused right now because it's a safer space where you don't have an obligation now to do anything? Then what? And then a whole new conversation opens up.
Yes.
What would you do? And I'm like, well, if I do this, it might not work. I'm like, so what? Can we do it? I would say, like, you know, the flow of life is always bringing you stuff.
Yep.
The minute you stop, it's like stopping a chess game. Okay. There's no new, everything is just stuck where it is. You're not getting any new moves or opportunities here.
Mm-hmm.
Take an action. I don't care what action. Doesn't have to be an inspired action even.
Right.
Do something. We need to get some more Scrabble pieces on this Scrabble game. Take an action. Take another action. Take another action. At a certain point, life is going to be like, God, they finally took enough action. I could reset this board. Here's all the new Scrabble letters. Right? And then you start to finally say, oh, my confusion was just actually me stalling out because of these other reasons.
Exactly.
So take any and all actions. And even if the things that you're looking at in front of you, I always like to say, so what? All the present options suck. I get it. Pick one anyway. I know you don't want it. Pick one anyway. Do it. Because once that one's cleared out, something new finally gets to come in and take its place. And that's the one you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I tell people.
Beautiful
As a coach, I'm very soft and loving and warm. But when there's somebody needs to have a little, you know,
yeah,
I'm there.
Tough love anyway, for sure. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate your words to that, because that's one that I find not only myself deal with, because like you said, like no one's perfect, even if we're a coach, even if we've been doing this for many years, but that many people struggle with, because on our own, it's difficult to get to that deeper awareness, because like you said, there's safety to it, or just like some ways we're keeping ourselves back. Like, you know, we're just convincing ourselves to stay in a comfort zone. So yeah, it's good to have that as an awareness. And I know that answer right there will probably liberate at least a few people listening to this. So thank you.
Oh, I hope. You know, can I add one last idea to this?
Yes.
Okay. So you know how you mentioned that people are afraid to lose things?
Mm-hmm.
And confusion is, you know, the opportunity to tell yourself that you don't know what to do, so therefore you don't have to do anything. You just wait for life to shift things around for you until something pops up you like, which is like a really slow road. And I say, look, how do you want to take the fast road or the slow road? Because life will eventually shift, but you're going to lose a lot of years while you wait. You know, I have a concept that I call burn time, burn money. Just you can apply it to about anything. Every good business has a slush fund of money that they are able to lose each year. If you don't, I don't know what kind of business you're running, but believe me, all businesses do. You know, the contractor you hired that doesn't work out, the marketing you do that's, you know, not working, all of that. I apply the same thing to my whole life. So I spent 2 years in confusion. Okay. I had burn time. I'm going to build that into my life. In my life, there'll be an X amount of just waste. That's it. And once you recognize that, that's even more liberating. I just wasted $20,000 last year on a program that did nothing for me. Burn money. Okay, I did that. It's one of the actions I tried. It didn't work. And I'm going to remove the, you're so stupid for doing this. Or why did you think that? Or no, 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 no. You're so, why did you? I'm going to remove all that. It's not going to help me. I already feel the sting of having lost something. But going forward with the sense that it's kind of built in is incredible. It's the only thing that allows you to try and try and try and try
again. Yes.
So I encourage everybody, look at something that maybe you're experiencing burn time on or burn money on, and realize that's just what you did.
Right.
No big deal. Everybody gets it. Everybody has that. You don't have to be perfect or special. You're not, if you don't have that, you're actually weird.
Agreed. Yes. Yes. You know, as you were sharing that idea, which I think is brilliant, it brought to mind, because another example is in relationships. It's not the greatest application of that analogy, because it's not about burning through relationships, because that's a very, very different point in here. But the reason I'm with my wife now is because I went through at least a dozen, if not a little bit more, but it, look at my history of 10 years of dating from when I was in my early teens to my mid 20s when I met my wife. Like, I went through those relationships with full heart. Like, I wanted to see if it could work out. But when I'd left, or like I chose, like, this is not for me, or I got broken up with, I did my best. And I don't even know where I got this from, but it was basically burn time. It's like, or in that case, it's like, oh, that was a burn relationship. I'm going to move past it. And I wouldn't dwell on that for more than maybe a week or two, maybe a month max, and then just move on, learn from it, like grow from it. And then here we are. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you naturally gave yourself permission to factor that in. You know, again, all this talk out there about, you know, how everybody's stealing from stores or whatever. I don't know, just weird thing going on. Shoplifting is crazy right now. So they're saying all those stores know that they're going to suffer a certain amount of losses. Mm. It's factored in. Every organization does it. And as a soul and a being, we are also an organization. We need to give ourselves that same understanding,
right?
And know that it's freeing. I mean, it's just so freeing.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm just, again, I'm repeating myself, but I just thought that was important to add in, because we were kind of touching on that. So
definitely, yeah.
As you can see, I have a lot of concepts, Kevin. We can just keep going. Yeah, Kevin, going.
Not enough time to obviously get into all of them, but as we're coming in for a close for this episode, I'm curious if there's any final thoughts, like, because we covered a lot of different topics, like anything that you want to share that it's like a tie of a bow on top of all of it, or something extra, something you haven't talked about. Obviously, in a moment, I'll have you share of like where people can connect with you, but any final thoughts? Yeah.
Oh my. Again, I mean, to tie a bow on things, flow dreaming for me is a philosophy that ties a lot of these teachings all together in one place. The nature of the universe, the nature of universal intelligence. When I first started this practice, my first book was actually an inquiry into a lot of holist physicists and quantum theory, trying to figure out what is this space? What is all of this that I'm learning here? Fast forward to today, you know, this, when you're on a road to personal growth, and there's so many different ways you can get on-roaded to it, right? So many on-ramps. It's about finding the one that fits you and feels really good to you. For me, learning to work with my emotions and learning a sense of empowerment that I used to call like manifesting. Now it's like, if I am this way, life will be that way. And that's the essence of manifesting to me now. It's just simple as can be. But you're going to find something that's going to tug you and pull you into this road of growth and development. And if you find something that you love, you know, stick with it and stay with it and run it as long as you can. So anyway, for me, that's been flow dreaming, but for all of us, it's maybe different things or a combination of things.
Right. That's so awesome. That, I think that's a perfect bow to put on top of all this, because, you know, I agree with you. You and I have walked not maybe similar, but like we understand each other's journey, because we've been in the personal development, spiritual development world for me, it's been a decade, but for you, obviously a few decades, if not more or less, whatever it is. But that there's so many paths. It's like, how do you choose? I think that was a great addition to add, because I hadn't shared this with you yet, but our listeners are anywhere, most of our listeners, like 80 to 90% of our listeners are between ages 18 and 35. So mm-hmm. might be just in the beginning of their journey. And so yeah. to find like, all right, where to go, where to dive deeper into, which I always recommend is not just to go on the surface of any of these things, is to really get mm-hmm. into it. Is to really know where it really resonates with you. If like there's that light that sparks within you, then follow it.
Yeah.
There's something there for you. And so yeah. I appreciate you sharing that. And also I'm sure there's going to be some sparks in people listening for you and working with you. So tell us about that, like where people can find you, what offerings you have, and what links will be in the description of this episode.
Oh, sure. The old saying, all roads lead to Rome. So you can start with shadow work. You can start with flow dreaming. You can start with meditation. You can start with Reiki. You can start with anything. They're all going to eventually get you to that place of expansion and awareness. Mm. And the quilt, pick up as many of them as you like. You don't have to stay with just one or the other. Enjoy them all. Who would want to eat only one flavor of ice cream their entire life when they have the entire... Anyway, okay. Or you can learn about me. I am everywhere. I am everywhere. I have a podcast called Flow Dreaming. In fact, I have a couple of episodes that would be maybe interesting. Earlier, was it this year or last? My podcast is 19 years old, by the way. It's been running for 19 seasons. Amazing. Yeah. I have manifesting for people in your 20s, manifesting for people in your 30s, manifesting for people in your 40s, manifesting for people in your 50s. I did 5 episodes. And basically what I tried to show was this is probably what you're focused on right now, and this is how you get it. And so that might be kind of fun for your audience.
Yes. If you can include those links, just send them to me. I'll include them in the description of this episode. That's great.
Cool.
And wait.
Otherwise, flowdreaming.com.
Perfect. Yes. But really quick side note, I have never heard anyone speak of that. And I'm thrilled to hear that because I'm turning 31 in 2 days. And been in this industry, this whole world of growth and personal development for all of my 20s. Yeah. And never have I heard someone speak of in your different stages of life, your different phases of life, it's going to be different.
Yes.
So I'm interested in hearing that. So please send me the links.
I'm a bit of a personal growth heretic. I'm just bootstrapped my way.
Sure.
So I have a lot of ideas that are like, what?
Right.
Okay. Flowdreaming.com, everything there. I'm actually launching a new program in the beginning of the new year where I will be manifesting and doing flow dreaming and some sort of very special workshop with people every single month live, as well as offering people access to 36 of my courses. I have so much content out there, Kevin. I've got like 300 recorded flow dreams on all different topics you can manifest. But the new program is called the Flow Dreaming Mastermind. Very obvious subject title here, but it's pretty cool because we do it on like we do new moon manifesting, full moon manifesting, equinoxes, special event weekends, things like that. It's all included, so that's super cool. And I have an app also, so my own app on your phone. And there's a full tutorial there if you want to learn. Like if somebody wants to learn how. Just download the app and just start listening. It comes with several flow dreams they can listen to. And I always feel like I have to tell people because otherwise they expect meditation. And they're like, you're not making me feel calm at all. I'm like, precisely. I do not want you calm. I want you feeling something. We're going to feel something together, right? So every flow dream takes you through a feeling state, essentially, you know, walks you through it with imagery and so forth. So I think those are the best resources, the podcast, the website, and the app.
Beautiful. And again, we'll include all the links in the description of this episode. So if you're listening and any of those sparked insight, you can click the links and find more information there. So Summer, thank you so much for being here. This is a fantastic flowing conversation, which is no surprise. So appreciate you and it's great talking with you.
Thank you so much, Kevin, and to everybody listening.
And that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, connect with us on Instagram personally at Kevin F. Carton
or at Chris J. Carton or our podcast Instagram page at Science and Spirituality Podcast. And if you feel guided to, the one thing that we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and also leave a review. This way we can reach more people and in that way impact more lives. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode.